I'm gonna live, 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 live until I die.
In. Out. My mother's breathing was slowing. In. I'm Jeff Hoyt. This is Hoytus Interruptus. Out. She was dying of cancer. It had been long. It had been slow. There were ups. There were downs. Plenty of false hopes. And now my three sisters and I were gathered in my parents' tiny home in Massachusetts to be with her at the end. We were all complete rookies in the art of the death watch. None of us, including our 70-year-old father, had ever sat in on the end of anyone's life before. In. But after a week of waiting and watching, this just felt like the moment. Out. Her loving family gathered around her. In. A pause, and then Mom opened her eyes and said, "I'm still here." Oh, such perfect comic timing, and that exquisite deadpan, if you will, definitely achieving the desired effect. The room burst into laughter, and Mom smiled. It was music to her ears. She left us the next day. That story kind of encapsulates how my family does death. We laugh a lot. It helps us get through it. Because let's face it, the passing of a parent puts every emotion on display. It can be a round trip to crazy town for any family. For one thing, you are your original family unit in a small space, maybe for days on end. So nerve endings can fray, old crap bubbles up, there's chaos, there's drama, there's intensity, and of course, these are the basic building blocks of humor. Each of my parents died during the first week of April, 2 years apart. My sisters and I have come to call that week Death Week. Ellen will call me up. So, going anywhere special for Death Week this year? Nah, it's always so hard to get reservations unless you book way in advance. I'm just going to stay home and mourn privately. You? Earlier this week, my sister Sarah texted me a photo of herself standing next to a full-grown Easter bunny with Happy Death Week underneath it. Our parents taught us to take life with a grain of salt at every opportunity. And since death is a part of life, we figure it's fair game too. So even though we lost our parents 20 and 22 years ago this week, my sisters and I still look back on those events with this odd mixture of sadness and affection. We laughed a lot, mostly at things far too personal or inappropriate to repeat into a microphone, but I would like to share a few moments with you, if I may. A few days after Mom's memorial in New England, at least 25 of us, immediate family, cousins, close friends, caravanned down to Plymouth on Cape Cod Bay. That's where she wanted her ashes scattered. So we chartered the only vessel big enough for all of us, a whale watch boat. It was cloudy and cold. Wicked cold, as they'd say in Boston, but with a more authentic accent. When we got to the dock, my cousin surprised us all by passing out bright red knitted gloves with the logo of her employer on them. Suddenly, we had a corporate sponsor. The day became the Friendly's Ice Cream Joanne Hoyt Memorial Ash Scattering. So now the day, the boat, even our captain was brought to you by Friendly's, homemade and handcrafted since 1935. The captain would come to regret showing me where the onboard microphone was. Let's just leave it at that. We motored out beyond the jetty and the replica of the Mayflower toward the lighthouse. When we got to the spot that felt like, you know, the spot, we went out on deck. And at that moment, the sun came out. Cousin Ron led a prayer. Cousin Sean read a poem, and each of us dropped handfuls of my mother's ashes onto the waves. The sunlight turned them into silver glitter as they drifted down. It was beautiful. Finally, my sisters and I cast out a single red rose onto the water. Brought to you by Friendly's Ice Cream. We were late getting back. As we approached the dock, we could see this long line of tourists waiting there. The captain told us that they were not very happy that their whale watch trip had been delayed. So my sisters and I made an announcement. Okay, here's the official family response in case a disgruntled tourist says anything nasty to you as we leave the boat. First, apologize profusely for our thoughtlessness and let them know that we were only wanting to spend a few extra minutes at the spot where we just scattered our mother's ashes. Then say, good luck. I hope you see whales. Mom loved whales. 2 years later, it was Dad's turn. Parkinson's, cancer, diabetes, he had the full meal deal. When we got word that his end was close, my sisters and I jumped on 4 different planes, this time headed to Florida, where Dad wanted to spend his final years fishing in the sun along the inland waterway. I got there first and was already at the hospital with Dad when my sister Ellen arrived. She stepped off the elevator, walked up to the nurse's station, and asked which room our father was in. The nurse looks at my sister, and with all the compassion and sympathy in the world, she says, I'll take you right to him. And, you know, you look just like your father. Now for Ellen, this is a little too tempting to resist. You mean I look like a dying 72-year-old man? Gee, thanks. That absolutely cracked Dad up. Ellen could always make him laugh. And for his last 3 days, my sisters and I all kept up this steady kind of whacked-out patter that served a couple of purposes. It helped reassure our father that he had, in fact, taught us well. And I really think we provided a kind of soothing soundtrack for him as he weakened. The name hung over Dad's bed said Robert Hoyt. He hated Robert, always went by Bob. So every time a nurse would walk into the room and call him Robert, he'd say, it's Bob, damn it. So we changed the name over his bed to read, Robert, it's Bob, damn it, Hoyt. So whenever a new hospital staff person would enter the room, it was, oh, hi, Gloria. This is our father. It's Bob, damn it. It's Bob, damn it. This is Gloria. He loved his new name. On what proved to be his final day, we'd been at the hospital nonstop for hours and were getting hungry. Nobody wanted to leave his bedside to go to the cafeteria, so we called out for pizza. Not long after we made the call, Aunt Ginny noticed that Dad's breathing was getting more labored. We remembered that very thing from Mom 2 years earlier. Remember, we didn't have a lot of experience with this. So we phoned the local pastor who'd visited Dad that week and told him it was time. He said he'd be right over. Meanwhile, a nurse who didn't know we'd made other arrangements called the hospital chaplain and told him to come up to the ward. So both pastors arrived at the very same moment in the hospital room, just 3 or 4 breaths before the end. But all our focus was on Dad. We were good with any additional pastor power we could get. We joined hands around Dad, told him we loved him, and quietly waited for the end. In. Out. In. Out. In. A knock at the door. Who ordered the pizza? Out. Dad got his to go. After a few days, settling Dad's affairs and holding a memorial service, Cindy and I thought maybe we should extend our time in Florida and take a little side trip to Orlando. I mean, our kids were young, and we'd been through a lot. Had to come up with a good way to announce it to the family, though. So I went with, "Hey, Jeff, your dad just died. What are you going to do next?" "I'm going to Disney World." Most of us here either have had or will have the experience of getting orphanhood thrust upon us at some point. I've found that grief is an equal opportunity emotion. You can find joys, both big and small, even in the worst of times, if you look for them. And yes, all of the other less fun feelings will absolutely find a way to assert themselves as well. It's what they do. And that's pretty much as it should be. I remember reading an interview with Valerie Harper, who'd been battling cancer. She said, and this was the first time I'd heard this, "None of us are getting out of here alive." To my mind, that's just another way of saying, we're all in this together. I miss my parents, but I'm glad we were all there together for each of them at the end, and that they both got our laughter and our tears. 2 months after Dad's passing, our extended family gathered again in Plymouth to take Dad's ashes out on the same whale watch boat to the same spot in Cape Cod Bay where we had spread Mom's ashes just 2 years earlier. The tone for the day was set when we walked down the waterfront for a glimpse of the famous, though small, Plymouth Rock. As we explained its historical significance to the kids, a carload of teenagers drove by and yelled, "It's just a freaking rock!" And, you know, they were kind of right. It was just a freaking rock. The mortuary in Florida had given us a simple metal urn, engraved as we had requested, "Robert, it's Bob Dammit Hoyt." It wasn't until the boat was well underway that someone noticed that the urn was sealed, the kind intended for burial or display, as opposed to scattering. It takes like a stick of dynamite to get into one of those things. But all the captain had on board was a can opener and a screwdriver. Then my 16-year-old niece whips out an 8-inch switchblade. "Will this help?" The look on her dad, my brother-in-law's face, when he saw it for the first time, let's just say he wasn't laughing nearly as hard as we were. After something like 15 minutes, prying open the lid of the urn like a can of army rations, we all peered past the jagged metal edges to the gray ash and tiny flecks of bone. A hush fell on us all as we contemplated the transitory nature of human existence. And then Ellen said, "Hey, that's not my father."
They'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel. But until then, hallelujah, gonna dance. Gonna fly, I'll take a chance, riding high. Before my number's up, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live, live, live.